It is Friday, the 15th of August, and this is episode 218 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to another sunny episode of Digital Outbox. I am Chris, joined as ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Chris.
Ooh, payday.
It is payday.
What are you going to go buy?
I've already bought.
Have you? Is your preemptive payday buying?
So basically payday means credit card payday.
Yeah, just pay off the credit card. Yeah, I know that feeling. Except for mine's, yeah, still not paid off, that's for sure.
Oh, no. Always 15, zero. Always
15th zero. Of the month, though. It's good. Mid-month paydays.
Yeah, every 50. So my work used to be every 4 weeks, which everybody finds a bit weird, but I used to love that because you got 13 paydays a year. So you would always have, there was always that kind of time where you get two pays before your mortgage payment or your bills payments came out, and it was like, whoa, I've got a free pay.
Free pay! Yay!
It was honestly, and see when I moved over to monthly, so I was like, crap.
Yeah, but still mid-month. I don't know, that appeals to me given the fact that I think it only appeals to me because I'm the end of the month, and therefore mid-month would be good right now because it'd mean another one now. Never mind. Let's get on with some news rather than talking about our money woes. Internet, it's all full up. There's no more room. It's going to shut down.
It's dead.
It's gone. Basically, we had a situation a bit earlier in the week whereby some routers, sort of some common Cisco routers, which sit at the hub of, you know, kind of underlying backbones of the internet, they got full. Apparently they've got sort of space for 500,000 users each. But at times we are now so internet focused that they were being overrun. So there are more than 500,000 users connecting to them. And that caused outages where sites failed and users could not connect.
Yeah, and some of the sites were like eBay, you know, so they were big players. I think that's why it got attention this week because all of a sudden, you know, eBay in the UK wasn't available. And people were like, ah.
Oh, my God. I can't win my crappy handbag.
So you won that handbag off me.
Damn it. Yeah. Shut up, Chris. Basically, they've known about this problem for ages. And Cisco have been sort of saying, guys, there's this thing that's going to happen. We're going to hit this threshold. All you have to actually do is turn it off and turn it back on again with a slightly different setting, and then everything will be fine. It'll, you know, lead to 2 minutes of downtime. And the problem was that because these routers cover multiple ISPs and therefore, you know, half a million users, they could never get agreement to turn these things off to turn them back on again. They could never get that full agreement. So they've kind of left it until it all does go wrong. And now they've kind of, they say, okay, we've got to do something about it. So they are generally now rebooting them with this new setting, which should enable them to hold more users.
And the upshot is, don't read the Daily Mail because they were saying the internet's full. And basically,
they think everything's full. No more room. No, stay
exactly.
Out. This is mine.
Exactly. unless you're you know, rich or white. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you come. Come on then. Yeah.
But basically, it might be slow next week. The internet, the thing that is the internet, might be slightly slower.
Might be slightly slower, and I guess there might be some controlled outages rather than non-controlled. Chances of you actually noticing, unless you're a bit like us who sit on the internet all day, every day, very, very slim indeed.
Yeah.
Ask.fm has been bought by Ask.com, who also own Tinder. Ask.fm, we covered it a fair while back now because it was... It's basically a site where anonymous users can ask questions and then anonymous people can answer those questions online. But it was used, and it's used in the kind of, I guess, a lot of young people hopped on, and then it was started being used for cyberbullying because of all the anonymous nature of it. And the owners of Ask.fm were sort of criticized for not doing enough to stop all this. And it was even implicated in a suicide and things like that. So Ask.com have bought it, and they have said, we're going to get this under control. We're going to put in safeguards and all that kind of nice stuff to make it a better service.
And the two guys that started it were two Latvian brothers who started us back in 2010. They've left.
They have been let go.
Yeah. But I'm sure they got a nice payment.
Well, they wouldn't have done it if they didn't.
So it's very popular. It's something that just totally bypasses me. I just don't know about it at all.
It's not for us.
But it's got, what, 2/3 of the users are Twitter.
You kind of get the... Well, my initial impression was, it's just ask.com wanting that additional URL. But with that many users, it's not, because they're buying... And there's investment in users going on there.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And hopefully they can make it safer. It's just one of these things that I think by making it safer, you'll probably drive a lot of the people that were using it away. Because they'll make it non-anonymous and they'll find another
site. You want to be a troll? You don't want to be a troll with a face, do you?
No.
All right. So EE has decided that its customer service could be improved, and it could be improved by getting you to pay for it. So basically, you can pay in EE now if you want to skip the queues.
This is so much cock. This is really, and I know we've turned into like an episode of That's Life, where we've got all these kind of consumer type issues. But this made my blood boil. This is wrong.
It's everything that's wrong. So basically, their argument is, we've got this level of customer service which we like and we think is good, but if you don't want to wait, you can pay us to support the expansion of that customer service, and you can pay to skip the queue. No, it's everything that's wrong. It's only going to cost you 50p, but it's 50p you shouldn't really have to pay.
But they've also admitted that there's a theoretical chance that if you didn't want to pay, so you phoned up EE, Chris, you're not willing to pay your 50p, and I phone up and I'm like Mr. Tory boy, and I think, I don't want to wait. Wah, pay 50 pence. And I jump ahead of you. But then Shaq phones and he's behind you and he thinks, I'm a Tory as well. I'm going to skip the queue. You're still waiting. All these people can keep skipping you.
No.
So there's a theoretical possibility that you might have to wait longer because you're tight.
I'm sure you will. I have every confidence that there will be people willing to pay the 50p rather than sit there with horrible hold music.
The worst thing is...
Your call is important to us, but not as important as his. Hang on a sec.
Yeah, clearly it's
your
not.
Your call...
And it reminds me of when all the fast lanes came in at airports, and when Bristol was one of the worst, they brought in this fast lane. It was £2 or a fiver to cut the queues. And at the time, they cut back on a lot of the folk that were staffing the scanners. So the queues were massive. And you were like, this is wrong. You've cut back the service and you're now forcing me. No, you're not forcing me. You don't have to pay. You just queue. But you could see what they were doing. They were making it an attractive service.
Yeah, you can... You can either pay and not queue, or you can queue here 3 hours and therefore miss your flight. You choose, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Who knows whether other people are going to jump on board, or maybe they'll just use... if I was another firm, I would probably use that as leverage to take the piss out of them and maybe get rid of it that way.
I hope so. I hope it's not a trend.
But it could... It could go one of two ways, couldn't it? It could be the trend, or it could be the leverage to... Hey, we don't do that. Come
so
to
look
us.
At all the, and it's another airport one. I look at all the BAA airports. They just hand out like the remember all the stuff that happened with you can't travel with liquids. You've got to put in clear bags. The BAA airports just hand out bags. Bristol, £1 for a bag, and you're just like cocks.
Poor little Bristol. Samsung is getting into the smart home offering by it's bought up Smart Things. Something around 200 million. Now, Smart Things isn't like Nest that Google bought into. This is a kind of platform that some manufacturers of hardware can hook into this platform, and therefore it's kind of like a common language almost between these pieces of hardware, right?
Kind of, because they did launch a Kickstarter. They were originally a Kickstarter as well, and they do have hardware.
Okay.
So if I go into their shop just now, you can actually buy a SmartThings kit. So you get like a sensor and a plug and a SmartThings hub.
just a sensor. I am sensing stuff.
Yeah, and you can buy like a whole kit.
Tells me it's sensing stuff.
Yeah, so you can buy a whole kit. And I've always been interested in this home automation / sensor type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very tempted to buy one of these, but I'm just holding off. I've been holding off for probably about 2 years now because I just think there's all this...
It's quite a lot of investment to then have it not be fulfilled because a company thinks, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah. So obviously lots of people bought a Nest, and then Google bought a Nest, and they're ditching it. So they now, Smart Things look to be a really good option. a lot of iOS people bought into smart things and they're already thinking, oh,
can't go there.
Samsung owns this. And it's all of a sudden it's degraded the brand in their eyes, which is just, I just find that whole argument.
Yeah, but then one day Apple are going to release this, they're going to release their proper offering and just say, this is it done. Look at this. Wonderful.
It'll be interesting because the iOS 8 has that, I can't remember what they called it, but they've got like a framework and they're asking other people to hook in. And obviously they work well with things like the Philips Hue bulbs and stuff like that.
It's Apple's thing to sort of sit back and watch how something develops and then come in and absolutely nail it. So I think that's what will happen.
The home automation stuff is all going to happen. It's just all a bit muddied at the moment.
And when Apple do come along and nail it, they'll say, look at this fabulous idea we've had.
Oh, you're the best.
Exactly. But and then they will sell billions of them.
But it's not dishonest because, I mean, Google bought Nest, and obviously Nest have opened up their product to allow other things to integrate with it as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of competing things going on at the moment. So finding the actual one that wins out is going to be tricky right now. Yes. Keeping with Samsung, they have ditched the plastic designs and they are going to release, or they have released, or is it going to release? They're going to release Galaxy Alpha, which is basically looks like an iPhone because it's got metal edge.
Yeah, it's got a little chamfered edge. I don't know where I've read that before.
You would make a deal of chamfered edges, eh?
Exactly.
But yeah, so it's just another step on the evolution towards being an iPhone.
They've been making iPhones for years, so may as well just brand one as an Alpha.
Sod it.
Yeah.
Galaxy iPhone.
Honestly, the only difference that I could spot, it wasn't the only difference, but instead of the round, you know, home button, they've got like a kind of their oblongy type rectangular one, and there's more buttons at the side. That was a bit, the only difference. It just looks like an iPhone from a year or two ago.
Yep. There you go. Maybe it'll fit in. If it fits in iPhone holders, then even better.
So Samsung, so remember I mentioned that in the previous thing. I mean, Samsung are famous for at least like 40 phones a year, and one of them will work. You know, one of them will be popular.
This is
another. Let's tick the box. So if you're looking for a more sturdy phone, you don't like the plastic, you're looking, and they are starting to see that maybe their sales aren't, you know, obviously they sell massive amounts, but they've tailed off slightly, started to dip slightly.
The S4 is definitely more successful than the S5, I would say, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think there was not enough change.
But it sounds like they're going to go with this metal look and this metal body for their other models as well. So this is just the start of a larger approach to their phone. Yeah. So
they've called it a new design approach.
Yes.
And it wouldn't surprise me if they're like top of the range line of, you know, like, I don't know, watch, phone and tablet all have a similar look, feel.
Man U.
Hey!
Banned iPads from home games. So the season's fast approaching. And you are no longer allowed to take it. Basically, you're not allowed to take in laptops or large devices. Bit like airports now are requiring you to fire them up and show them. They couldn't figure out a good way of getting people to actually boot these devices up. So they're just going to ban them from entry.
You shouldn't have one. I mean, you're going to watch a game of football. It's the same with folk going to like pop concerts and they start filming an iPad. Do one.
It hasn't bothered me either way. I guess they've had security things to say some nefarious people are filling up these devices with bombs.
No, it's more I think it's also the inconvenience of somebody standing there, not just with a phone like this, which is tend to be, you're a bit tucked in, but you tend to hold it like that way, elbows out. I'll take up this whole view.
And eat my face.
Yeah.
Or however Manchester.
I was at a couple of Commonwealth Games events and it was people filming iPads were really annoying.
Yeah, it is a bit like.
Honestly, I wanted to.
I'm going to take my iMac along.
Have you seen? You must have seen it was one, well. 2 or 3 weeks ago doing the rounds, and it was somebody in a train had an iMac plugged in.
That's brilliant.
And he had these, and I don't think it was a 27, so it was probably like a 21-inch iMac plugged in, and he had the keyboard and mouse, and he was working away. And it was brilliant. Now, have you just bought that? Are you doing it for a bet?
That's just doing it for videos. But doing it is viral. That's brilliant, though. It's clever. Microsoft has come up with something quite cool. Who'd have thunk it? what is that thing?
Hyperlapse.
So what's that?
So basically, they are turning your So these are all these wearable video cameras, the ones that, you know, like are in time lapses, like every 10 seconds or every, I don't know, every 3 meters I'll take a picture. You know, so folk that are out running, or you've got it in your car, or you're up mountain climbing, or anything.
Well, basically, anything else that records and you think is amazing, but everyone else thinks really boring. So you speed it up just to make it more interesting.
So at the start of this, they talked about how they've done lots of work on this and done lots of research, and they're creating these hyperlapse videos. And I was like, sure, it's just another time lapse. And I don't get where you're going with this. But then they show the kind of before and after, which is the before, which is this really, you know, really, really stunted video, and also it's all over the place. You know, so as you're running or moving, different angles and everything's all over the place.
It's virtually impossible to watch it comfortably.
It's not pleasant. And this looks fantastic. It kind of smooths it all out, almost makes it look like a video game. And they showed you it going through a street, which looked amazing. But then they showed you a far more challenging going up a rock face and said, here's where the algorithm is struggling.
Yeah.
Because there's a kind of 2 minute video that looked great, and there's a kind of 8 minute one where they go into all the computation behind it, but it still looks very good.
The one where he's walking through the city, I mean, effectively, it looks like a Steadicam. That's the effect it gives.
Absolutely.
So it's a really sped up Steadicam. And like you say, even the one on the rock face where it was having to sort of merge between the frames, it still did an all right job at it. It looked a bit computerized, but it was pretty good. So it looks for a frame that is most similar to your previous as far as angle and that, and then it uses frames either side of that, or, you know, maybe even halfway through to interpolate, so that it's incredibly clever what they can do as far as image understanding, images and image manipulation. Now, I mean, it's just bonkers, really.
And I thought, what a great demo, and it was ruined at the end when they said they wanted to pack this into a Windows app.
Why?
No, joke aside, they look really good in it. If they can turn it into an app where you could load up, you know, there's 1,500 photos, and you press a button and out pops a hyperlapse of 2 minutes.
It doesn't have to be that. It can just be a video, one long, boring, normal speed video, and off it goes. Basically,
yeah, but it's just so good.
That time of year where we get new words added to the dictionary and we pick out our technology ones, and YOLO has made it. You only live once. As well as binge watching, which is incredibly apt for me. Pretty much describes my life.
And it's apt, I think it's apt for a whole lot of people. But some of the words I'm like, what's that? So like, let's do a little test. Cray.
Well, I'm imagining that's going to be crazy.
Yeah, but why? This is what I don't get. So why
it's take crazy?
One, why take one? Why take one letter out?
Because it saves you having to type it with your thumb and miss the flipping letter and therefore misspell it.
Hench.
Hench.
Hench. H-E-N-C-H.
Henchman.
Strong fit and having well-developed muscles.
There you go.
You're hench.
Thanks.
Humble brag's in there, which is quite apt. I do like humble brag.
Adorbs. You're adorable.
Mansplain.
No idea. It sounds rude.
Of a man, explain something to someone, typically a woman, in a manner regarded as condescending or patronizing. I'm listening to a guy in mansplain economics to his wife.
Tech savvy and clickbait also made it in there. Just there you go. They must be getting used enough to be in that kind of, not necessarily in the core of words, but certainly on the periphery.
Zonky.
Wonky.
Zonky.
But is it to do with wonky?
The hybrid offspring of a donkey and a zebra.
Okay. Zonky exists.
Yeah.
What an ass. GamesCon has been going on in Germany. Hello, welcome to GamesCon. I don't know where he's from. I'm European, generic European.
You need to watch, because as soon as you go German, I just go Nazi. And it all goes wrong.
Well, just as well, I was generic European. So basically, Microsoft and PlayStation have been saying how, come to us, we got all the games. So let's start with Xbox. They've announced preloading, so you'll be able to use up all your bandwidth downloading games before their release, so they're ready. So someone arbitrary person says, right, it is now released. Go. So rather than having to wait for a shop, they're going to add friends into the Xbox Snap area. Basically, they're starting to put back in all the features that they removed to go to Xbox One. So we're going to have a friends section. You're going to be able to have notifications and achievements without having to come out your game. Amazing. Who'd have thunk it? So yeah, that's calling something their Snap Center. So that's their basically.
It's ridiculous. It's like, and I listed all these out, and I was shaking my head so much as like an old man shaking my head, like who last year? And I know they were trying to push Kinect, but who last year looked at this and thought this is the right way to go?
Yeah, that works. I tell you what, guys, let's make it touch sensitive as well, but have some features you have to reach out and touch your monitor. No one has a touch sensitive TV. I don't care.
And I know they've bagged like the main guy, or he moved on to like Zynga or whatever. But somebody elsewhere was responsible for signing off on that.
That works. I've said there's loads done, but I think they were pushed into releasing this thing way before they were ready. And unfortunately, that's just they felt they had to do it.
What, the PS4's come out and it's cheaper.
Let's do this. Bill, have you finished all those things? Not quite. Is it good enough? Well, we kind of works. Yeah, let's do it. Go.
Do you see Bill and I just think Gates?
Probably was. He's probably still there working away. Other things. It's Media Player. Yes, that's quite exciting.
That was quite good. So this is this is going to support like USB.
To start with USB.
Content or from a network connected home.
Eventually,
server.
That's not coming straight away.
No, but I hope by the end of the year, because I think the Media Player is coming in September.
And the support for formats is good. So actually it will turn your...
massive.
Yeah, turn it into a bit more of a media box again, which was one of the things that the original Xbox was so famed for once you chipped it.
Oh, well, I've just been writing about it this week, just how I bought two Xboxes just so I could chip one and put Xbox Media Center on, and Plex came out of it. And the amazing thing in the compatible file text, which I've stuck further down the show notes, wasn't just how much is in there, but MKVs are in there. And it's like,
so the and even hackers though, format of choice.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like the format that always gets left out, and you're like,
it's damn, I'm going to have to redo all my videos. Yeah, no, that's great. So starting on USB, but coming to sort of network storage soon. They've been touting their TV tuner. They've announced the integrations into that. They will allow you to share that around your home network, which is pretty cool. So you will have, in effect, your Xbox will turn into what the Slingbox was doing. You can change channels from be watching it on your sort of iPad, not at a Manchester United game, but you can then go and change the channel, which is good. So actually, I think that's interesting. They're also allowing you to boot to TV. So actually, they're turning it more into that central hub that they wanted initially. In a more practical way.
And it's almost like last year, it's a media hub, and also here's some games. E3 was like, stop mentioning media.
Do not mention that.
It's all games, and it's like this kind of update over August and September, here's some media stuff you're going to enjoy.
It just makes more sense now, pumping the TV through it, and there's reasons for doing that, especially the Slingbox type idea. That immediately makes me more interested in it and getting a little digital tuner. Just brilliant, you know, that's fine by me.
Yep.
I mean, I'll even pump the Sky through it if I can Slingbox it around. I wonder if there's restrictions on that, because Sky don't like things like
that.
They want you to pay for it.
Yeah, because I've seen the bit that's confusing, they said it's launching first in markets receiving the Xbox Digital TV Tuner, which makes me think it's only the TV tuner
that can do it. Yeah, I think it probably will be. Sky don't like it.
No, exactly. They want you to Sky Go and do all
that. Yeah, that's what their Sky Go product is, and that they're charging tenner for that, aren't they?
So yeah.
Tenner per month. So there's mini guide available. Countries, they're expanding into more and more countries, and generally their updates are now coming out where they've been sort of
fairly substantial
as far
changes.
As services and hardware goes, that's pretty
and even just getting a good front end back again, you know, making it usable is going to be good.
Just being able to press the guy button and have a friends list without coming out your flipping game. A friends list that you can then invite people through. It just boggles the mind. Boggles the mind. They released, announced, bundles, whoop-de-doo, and with consoles that have been painted a slightly different colour. I've never understood why people get excited about these limited edition consoles.
But they must have. I mean, the white one, people and a few of the forums were like, that's gorgeous, that's the one I'm getting.
Why?
I mean, it sits.
If you like these limited editions, you're a moron.
I mean, the COD one as well. I mean, the Call of Duty one is got double the hard drive in it.
So with all the normal black ones. Why have a special edition?
Yep. But the best bit was you could buy a Call of Duty gamepad, which is £10 more than the normal one.
But this is the pre-order price of that COD bundle with, okay, it's got a bigger storage drive, but it's much higher. It's like nearly another 100 quid or something.
It was 100 quid.
Okay, ridiculous. Ridiculous. We should call this the old man podcast now, wouldn't we? Really? Never mind.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, okay.
This is ridiculous. Cards. So they've announced that you can go to a shop and you can buy a card, and on that card is a code, and I can give that card to you instead of giving you instead of buying you like the Blu-ray copy of the game, I give you a card which you then need to download onto your Xbox.
They're scraping the barrel of how to keep shops open, aren't they?
Seemingly people want to do this because they don't want credit cards, they don't want to put credit card details into these services. So they're having to prevent
it. It means that they're too young to have it. And probably the games they're buying are too old for them.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of guff. I think it's another, let's just make another option.
Basically, what I think that they'd like to do is say tomorrow, we're not having any more physical media, but unfortunately too many lives and livelihoods rely on that, which you can understand. I mean, you know, if you owned a shop, you wouldn't be very happy.
Anyway, games.
Yes, games, which is what should be all about a console, right?
Yep.
Tomb Raider, the next version, is going to be an Xbox exclusive for a short period of time.
Yeah, don't mention that too loudly.
No, they didn't.
No.
They said exclusive to Xbox for a short period of time.
Well, they said exclusive to Xbox coming holiday 2015. Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah, the exclusive bit was not tied to the Xbox. It was tied exactly. to the coming holiday. Yeah.
I mean, and it was so funny. It was on the NeoGAF forums as this got announced, and
it makes it worse
because Tomb Raider was always a Sony game because it came out in PlayStation way back in the day, and it was always like seen as a kind of
that's
Sony.
Where it was massive. That's where it was biggest.
Yeah, it was always and it was never a Sony exclusive, but it was always seen as a kind of Sony kind of game or poster child.
Yeah.
And so for them to and initially people were saying it is an exclusive, people were like, no, it can't be. And it's listed dirty.
Wasn't.
And it's not. They've not said how much. People are estimating it's probably six months.
Yeah. And, you know, they went on, they chuffed on about the last game was about the exploratory, how did this person come to exist? And this next one's about how does she come to be a hero?
Seemingly it was very good. I never played it, but seemingly.
I never played the original, but everyone said it was amazing.
Seemingly this one, the one that came out a couple of years back, was fantastic.
Origins or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, apparently it was a very, very good game, but yep, never played it. Quantum Break, yes, I think you've described it quite nicely by saying it's kind of Alan Wake with time manipulation thrown in. I didn't see too many details of it because I don't think it's out till next year anyway.
But actually, so this was the one where they said that there was also a tie-up with a TV series or episodic content will come out, influencing the game, influencing the direction that takes. And it was like, this sounds like a concept more than a
yes, they're saying it's live action and games. And it was it was announced by a computer generated character, which did look incredibly lifelike, but it was, you know, they could have played on that more, to be honest. Never mind.
See the effects in the game, it looked stunning.
Yeah.
The bit they were playing. But then I looked at it and I thought, Watch Dogs in certain bits looked stunning, and it was boring.
Yeah,
and this looked the same, and then they went to another clip, and it was the same, like the same, you know, police characters all walking about, and went, oh, what's that over there? And it's like, not every policeman sounds the same and says the same line, and that's the thing. If you want people to kind of suspend
their reality,
yeah, you need to do more than just have like three stock animations and three stock quotes.
But we're a long time away, so
we are. But it's a demo, so you should be showing the best, not the worst. Mm-hmm.
Ori and the Blind Forest. Now, I've heard lots about this, but I don't really know anything about it. Do you know anything about it?
Everyone keeps saying
this is amazing.
Yeah, it's from this company called Moon Studios, and it's almost like harking back to more of older style, simpler arcade type game. So the example he gave, the developer gave, was Super Metroid-like. Going back to, it's a bit more simpler, none of this complex, and you know, you've got... You know, you get loads of, you know, you've got a bag, and in the bag you have like 20 slots, and you can go and make stuff and do all this kind of stuff. It's, you know, a lot more arcade simple.
Which is fine, but that's quite hard to keep someone interested.
It is, but it looked stunning. Just on the screen, it just looked very, very different from what we're used to right now. Mm. And it was like, ooh, this is one to watch.
Yeah. Forza Horizon 2, so they're still pushing on with that. I
dismissed this, actually. And I blame you.
Because you
were like, I didn't like the first one.
To say I disliked it was annoying. It is not correct. I enjoyed parts of it. I just hated the cliched nature of it all.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And the whole kind of driving to that camp and the whole radio bit.
Just so machismo. And,
yeah. And the music was good and stuff, but the rest of the bits of it didn't work for me. But the
you're clearly excited.
Well, I was kind of like meh, and I kind of dismissed it. And then I've been off work this week, so I've probably been watching a bit more, you know, video content. Mm-hmm. And I watched like 15-20 minutes of gameplay, and I was like, wow, that's really, really nice. Looked really good. Not just so the graphics looked good, especially as it's totally open world. They were going like you go anywhere in the city, not just mm-hmm. in the roads. Like when there's a cafe, you just plow through the cafe, and all, everything goes flying. You're out on a country road, and if you just want to cut through the fields, crack on.
Yeah.
And it was like for a game like that where it is truly open, it looked really nice. The weather effects looks good. The kind of whole night and today, very, very impressive.
They just need more hooks to keep you interested. Because the first game had some good moments, but there wasn't. It never felt that way. You know how Burnout Paradise felt like you'd go and do loads of things? They set some really silly challenges, like go and do a double backflip and then land through this.
And I agree. The Horizon one wasn't.
It was too serious.
Yeah.
Whereas that's why Burnout Paradise was so amazing. It's just because it didn't take itself seriously. It was, yeah, do six backflips off the top of this cliff.
I think they've addressed that. Okay. One of the things that looked really slick as well was just the way they transitioned from you playing the game as a single player, but you've got loads of other people's drive avatars going around mm-hmm. you, to actually hooking up into an online game. And it was very, very seamless. It only took 5-6 seconds and it all worked. And it was like, that looks really nice.
Well, that won't work in real life then.
Well,
it involved going back to dashboard, selecting four options, going to friends app.
Put it this way, instead of being on my, I'm not buying that, it was like, I'll probably buy that.
Below, they kept chuffing on about as well. I saw a kind of brief overview video and it looked kind of spooky.
Yeah, but again, graphically very stylistic.
Yes, another stylistic. I think people have realised that, you know, I think we've mentioned it before, so you could spend billions of dollars on making something look incredible from a detail point of view, but if it doesn't add up artistically, it just looks bland.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of examples of that. Master Chief Collection, I only have to mention that and it gets you all hot under the collar, but they've been talking about it some more. So have they told us anything new?
There's a Halo channel. The Halo channel will be almost like a replacement for Waypoint. So a bit more slicker way of bringing everything together, so you can watch other people's games through it. You can see what your friends are doing through it. You can see when new content comes out. You can see when the new episodes come out of their kind of live action series, which is Nightfall. And also when the beta kicks off, and there was more detail about the beta as well. So Halo 5 Guardians beta starts December 29th for 3 whole weeks.
Wow.
Which is quite a nice length for a beta. And there's going to be 7 maps, 3 modes, 11 weapons. So it's not just like a couple of maps, which usually the betas are. It's actually
You end up hammering a couple of maps, don't you?
It's actually going to be quite nice. And then they showed you there was lots of video from the kind of Halo 2 remastered, and blimmin' heck, it looks fantastic.
Like, I know that place, but oh, it looks so good.
And it was all 60 frames per second, and they've announced that the Halo 2 ranking, which had its good points and bad points, but I thought it was better than what we saw in Halo 3 and 4, is going to be the ranking across all the games, because you can play all the multiplayer maps. So they're using that ranking system across all games.
So fingers crossed they've got rid of D-ranking, right?
Yeah.
But just D-ranking.
Yeah. But overall, I just watched it.
It still gets you very excited. It's a lot of game in one box, isn't it, basically?
It's a lot of game in one box, but when you see those maps, I just think it's just how good some of those maps were.
I just hope things get better all the time. You just don't realize it. So I just hope that going back to them is not going to feel boring and plain. There we go. So that's Microsoft, whistle stop tour. So Sony, let's have a whistle stop tour of them. Starting with the fact they're releasing version 2 of their software, basically, which is going to include SharePlay.
Yes, I can invite you into my virtual couch.
So this SharePlay is this is saying you can go and play a game with your mate, even if you've not bought that game. I don't know whether it involves any download of any sort or whether it's all to do with their streaming service.
It sounds like it's all streaming.
Because it would be annoying if you said, oh, yeah, I'll come and play a game. I'd have to buy it, but I do have to download this handy 10 gig install.
Exactly. It sounds like it is the streaming side of it. They didn't mention at the time. It also sounds like it's limited to an hour per game or hour per title, which there was going to be some limitation on it. I mean,
but that's horse crap when levels can, you know, you could be just playing one level or something and it takes like
I know. But if I was able to like buy Watch Dogs and then just invite you along and play the whole game.
Oh, so what? But there's two people playing the game.
I know, with the current licensing model, they're not going to have that.
I know, it just blows their little mind.
I know.
You mean we can't sell this twice?
Exactly.
Then they probably would anyway, because probably not going to work very well.
No, especially, and this is the thing, I mean, you're looking at games at £60 a pop, you know, but anyway, that's a different argument.
It's a completely different argument. Probably for a different day. So you can even actually take over someone else's controller. So if I'm going, I can't do this, you can come along and say, hey, there you go.
Well, you'd be asking me for that.
No. Yes. Going to be scheduled for fall. There you go. Released in Christmassy time.
Yeah, and there's a couple other things in it as well. So the kind of streaming has always been a bit of an add-on on the PS4, but it's now going to be far more integrated. So a lot more integrated and also better YouTube support, which seems to be the thing that kids want to do now. They want to broadcast themselves and put it up on YouTube.
Yeah, we talked that last week, that how massive these channels are that are going out there. There you go. What else? There's a few other bits and bobs in there.
Yeah, to be honest, a lot of it was, again, trying to surface out activity, who's doing what and where. Mm-hmm. And I think both of them are trying to chase after this. I think Xbox had tried it with that whole, you know, you can follow people and see what they're doing and you're not just necessarily seeing what their friends are doing and all that kind of stuff. And exactly. And
no one cares what Billy Bob Bragg is doing.
No. And it's like, if you go into PS4 right now, I can see, like, you know, Jasper's watched, you know, but Jasper's used iPlayer 5 times. It's like, and, you know, Shaq's played, you know, The Last of Us 3 times.
Whoop,
and
whoop.
And it's like, I don't need to know this.
No. But they've sold 10 million of the buggers, so that's actually pretty.
It's a massive number. Mm-hmm. You know, for the 7 months in a row, they've outsold Xbox again. So even though Xbox cut the price, even though they're Titanfall.
I mean, without Titanfall, Xbox, I think, was screwed.
Yeah.
Titanfall held it there, though, and actually is still an amazing game. Even dipping in the other day for another quick blast around on it, it's still a very good game.
Yep.
PlayStation Now has been announced, so the UK beta has been put at some point in 2015. So basically, they've told us we are going to do it, though.
Yeah, so it's out as a beta in America right now.
They've had it for a while.
Pricing,
our internet's not up to
an issue. Yeah, that's what they're saying. But pricing's an issue, because they're still talking about, you know, it's like, you know, I think it was it $5 or $6 per. Old game that you want to go and stream and kind of.
I was gonna say, we should say this is their streaming service where you can have it from your Xbox to a lounge screen or to a bedroom screen, whatever.
And
not from an Xbox, from a PlayStation.
But they kind of badged it as like, this is like our Netflix for games, and it's like, but yeah, you're still charging per. You know, Netflix is just I'll pay my $10 a month or £10 a month, like Amazon, pay £10 a month, and whatever's on that service, I can go and watch.
Yeah, I can watch the whole lot, even though time doesn't allow it.
And they seem to be doing it like as a per title purchase at the moment, rather than just saying, see if you pay like $6, you get access to a PS2 library. See if you pay $10, you get access to PS2 and PS3. Mm. And you know, they need to do so. I think they need to do something like that where it's.
Yeah, if it's a per release, then like you say, you're buying something that you never own. And it would be a bit like signing up to Spotify and then buying each song individually.
And also, I've bought it already. A lot of these games I have bought already. I mean, I'm never that fussed about playing some of the older, you know, off the last console, you know, like. But I know from the folk who work with kids, they just see it as such a big issue that they can't play their old games. And it's like, I think it's more an issue in their heads than it is for the kids, you know, because when a new shiny comes along, new shiny tends to win.
Yeah, for all the time. PlayStation TV. What's that all about?
So this is a little. This is a little device where they can. It's not. So you can. Yes, you can view TV content on it, but you can stream from your PS4.
Right.
So the idea is this: the PS4 is sitting down in your living room. You plug one of these under your TV in your bedroom, and you can carry on playing.
Yeah.
Streaming from the PS4. Yep. So it is. £80. I like the BBC actually highlighting this. It's $99, £59 in the US, and it's €99, £78 in Europe. And it includes three games, because this is similar like the kind of Vita games. But you can also access what they expect is once PlayStation Now comes out, you'll also have full access to all the games through that as well. So yep. for the cost of £80, if you've already got a PS4, this could be quite a nice little add-on in the house.
There you go.
Journey,
Unfinished Swan, they're both coming to PS4, which is kind of... Journey was like a massive hit, wasn't it? It was, and it was PS4 exclusive, as a PS3 exclusive, so coming to PS4 was great. Kind of one of those games that would sell a console, because I was quite interested in that.
Yeah, and Unfinished Swan wasn't as big a hit as Journey, but it was one of these kind of more indie games, got a lot of press and attention. Both are coming out in PS4 in November. Both are coming out. They've not said when, but they're both going to be 1080p, 60 frames per second. This seems to be the kind of thing that it's like the actual game content not changed.
Yeah.
The game is exactly the same.
And Little Big Planet 3 is in November.
Yeah, the first one for me, I just got super excited about and then just was like...
The reality of it, no one likes creating, people like playing is effectively the story. Same with all these... things that talk about having map creators and having, you know, anything that just goes down that route, it just never works. Like the pure physics areas, it kind of on PC, it's kind of work. I don't think they've ever had a console game where that really works.
No, I mean, like, I think Little Big Planet and the second one were successful, and there's obviously
successful.
There's obviously a market there because you get games like Minecraft that's just like, oh, you know, it just there's obviously folk out there that are willing to go and invest loads of time and make things.
But Minecraft is much more about everyone can build things out of blocks and go and get a new block. Whereas a lot of the excitement of things like Little Big Planet is when you see someone, they've created a working calculator. That's amazing. Yeah. And then you think, I can't do that. I haven't got the slightest clue of how to go about doing that. And there's nothing to incentivize me to go and do that. And the actual effort involved in doing it is just too much anyway. So that's why I just don't think those things work as well as they sound on paper.
Welcome to the old man's podcast.
Bloodborne.
Yeah. So Bloodborne actually looked amazing. So these are from the folk that did like Demon's Soul, which was like the hardest game ever. You know,
I played it for about half an hour and it did get me down. I think you have to have a particular mindset to not worry about dying every two milliseconds.
So Bloodborne, A, it looked fantastic, but B, they have said they're going to make it more approachable for people because I think they realised that
an absolute key market of that kind of genre. People love that, how difficult it was. But it just got me down after a while that I'd have to keep repeating steps because I just couldn't do it. And it was designed to kill you, but I just didn't like it.
Yeah, no. So there was a few independent. So Sony did really well last year and they kind of continued on this year, kind of hammering on their independent kind of arm. They've pumped a lot of money into that side of it. So there was a game called Tomorrow Children, very stylized, but it's from the Pixel Junk folk. There was The Vanishing of Ethan Carter Volume, and this was from the team that did Thomas Was Alone,
which was a massive hit, especially as an indie game. It's amazing.
So it's first.
That's very clever if you haven't played.
Yeah, and it's first in PS4. So there's a lot of these things that are saying they're first in PS4. So they're not truly exclusive. It's a bit like the two.
I think Microsoft did enough with their. They call it ID, didn't they?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, so Microsoft did enough to pull some of these developers back because I think most of the time, Microsoft are very good at looking after developers, probably better than PlayStation or Sony are. But Sony sort of cracked it because they didn't have all these harsh publishing controls on their PlayStation 3. And now that I think Xbox have loosened them enough that they're actually, okay, we'll go do it there as well.
I think the worst one that I can recall was Fez. So Fez had a horrible bug and it was 10 grand. For the Fez developer to release an update and he couldn't afford it. He's like, I can't afford it. So sorry guys, but the game's got a bug and Microsoft are going to charge me 10 grand to publish it. I will never make a game for Microsoft again, for a Microsoft platform. And I think after that, Microsoft reached out to them and they came to some agreement and the patch got published. But, you know, Fez 2, when it was going to be made, was going to be Sony and PC, and that was it. And then that all fell apart, although he did tweet this week that they might develop it. So who knows?
There you go.
And Alien Nation. This is from Resogun and Super Stardust. They've always kind of been Sony guys. And again, all of these looked really good games, but I think most game demos now can look really good. So most film trailers can look really good.
Yeah, they look exciting.
And then,
But Sin City 2 does look good. Have you seen the trailers for that? Makes me quite excited. I loved SimCity. SimCity. In game mode. Hollow Point, what's that about then? From the makers of Crackdown 2, which I don't think... it's kind of half of a good thing. But Crackdown... if it had been the makers of Crackdown 1, then that's Criterion,
Ruffian,
wasn't it?
I thought Ruffian did both, did they not?
Did they? Maybe they did.
Maybe with different
publishers.
Know.
But Crackdown 2 definitely wasn't as good as Crackdown 1.
No, so this is a mixture of like 2D platform and like 3D normal shooter and a lot of pinpoint aiming.
Reading this and thinking that sounds shit.
It's a very... again, it was one of these ones you looked at the video and you thought, that's interesting, but I'm not sure that I would just, you know, I'm not sure I would just go and play it.
Precision-based 3D shooter gameplay puts the fear of God into me.
I just think back to Quake 3 and railguns and people...
Yeah, but I kind of like that with a mouse.
Yeah, but on a pad.
It was rubbish.
Yeah.
Days, the zombie...
Days Dead.
Yeah. Is it Days?
I've called it Days before, but the guy behind it talked about how... I made DayZ for the so it is DayZ.
All right, well, so this is the zombie survival simulation, and it's another one of those exclusive to PlayStation 4.
Yeah, but it'd be interesting to see what it does. This came out as like one of these early releases on Steam and got really popular. And
isn't this one of the kind of? It's almost like a zombies sandbox in that they're just going to pump hundreds of these things into and make. You know, rather than set pieces, just let the game develop itself by just putting you in this horrible situation, seeing if you can get out kind of thing.
Yeah. Just like D&D life, really.
Exactly. Rhyme. Rhyme. There we go. There's a game. Looked good. I've not seen this, so I can't comment.
This was like playing a cartoon.
Okay, cool.
It did look very nice. But again, you can do a 2-minute video that looks really nice.
And that's the same. A lot of the things I've seen coming out of GamesCon, there's no real in-depth there at the moment. Except for a few things. Nevertheless, I'm starting to get a warm, fuzzy feeling about some games that are coming up now. So that some of them are interesting me much more than certainly the release titles did.
Definitely, and I think also E3 was very much a kind of, you know, video, and then all the stuff after was video, you know, dissected. There was no actual game, whereas this time you're getting people playing Little Drive bits. Club, you're getting people playing Forza.
Yes, they've got the booth set up now,
Halo.
Haven't they?
So you're actually seeing actual gameplay and not that staged.
Yes,
here's this canned video. Yeah.
Drive Club looked good.
Oh, it did look good. And that was the other thing I meant to say about Forza Horizon. It just popped in my head. People were calling it like almost like the spiritual successor to like PGR. It felt handling wise very similar, and some of the mission type stuff you do, or some of the options were similar.
Which is a good thing compared to, because their big selling point is they've got the Forza model underlying, but actually it was a bit too much that way last time. It felt a little bit too safe. And actually going to, I think it worked better with the PGR type model.
Yeah. So anyway, so Drive Club, again, stunning looking game. And this was the one that was looked good last year, but then they kind of canned it and says we need more time.
Yeah. And then everyone went, oh, well, that's never a good sign.
Yeah. And again, but looks really good. It's only 2 months away. So a bit like Forza, it's only a couple of months away. Great weather effects, again, like Forza. Mm. So weather very much a big thing in the game. I've got a lot of hope for this one. I'll be definitely picking this up.
Metal Gear Solid 5. Will this series never end?
This ticks me off. So I played the first couple and really enjoyed them. I still remember that the first vibrating pad in the PS1 or 2. I can't remember if it was the second one.
2.
And you had to put it down on your table and it's like, I'm taking over the controller, and it vibrated the pad and you were like, that's really clever. But this the last one was just like...
Never liked sneaky games, so it's never been a series that's interesting.
But there was one of the... I remember somebody did like a play test online and it was like 5 minutes of gameplay and then it was a 45-minute video. That you watched, that told you all the story. And you're like,
let me play sucks. The game. Let me play.
But this so following on from E3, they did more about this box. And can you remember the box in Metal Gear Solid? You used to be able to hide in a cardboard box.
No, because I never played the series.
You used to be able to hide in a cardboard box.
Right.
And that was your way of sneaking past guards. You could then move around in this box.
I have seen video footage of that, but I remember that because it's like, oh, there's a box moving. I shan't investigate that because it's a cardboard box.
Yeah. So now, I'm spending too much time talking about this box. But during the demos, they showed you some more features of the box, like you can pop out the box and shoot people, or you can actually, there's new ways to disguise yourself. So you can actually put a picture of a soldier on the side of the box and stand up, and another soldier thinks he's looking at a soldier and ignore you.
Right.
Or you can put a picture of like a Page 3 model on, and he'll come running over so you can attack him when he's lost in admiration for this picture.
See, that just sounds like a comedy game, but they don't try and put this as comedy, do they? That's the thing.
And as I said, I wrote the comment, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. It was like, come on.
Tearaway Unfolded. So this is a Vita game that's coming over to a PS4.
This was in the Vita, and it took, I don't know how the Vita's got like about 40 different ways you can control it with all the different touch button surfacey nonsense. So they're bringing it to PS4 and again trying to make use of the pad and doing lots of novel things with the pad. Looked interesting.
And Wild.
This was mental. This was just like, it looked like an animation for some wildlife series on TV. But basically
did it have Michaela Strachan in it?
No.
Oh.
Is that not the Hitman in her? Is that just me that remembers that?
It probably was.
There was Pete Waterman in her.
Really?
And he was the Hitman and she was the her. And they went around like different clubs around Britain.
No.
It was on late at night. You're probably in your bed. Yeah. Digression. So basically this was like an action adventure, and you could play the wild thing is that, or not, and I'm not saying wild because it's called wild, the weird thing is you could play any character in the game. So there was like large women inside trees. Seemingly you can play the game as her, or you could play it as an animal, or you can play it as a guy, or you can, and you do all sorts of.
Do you play it continuously? Is that, or can you swap from one character?
No idea.
Because if you start playing the game as a trout, I think.
And that's a bit. I left that in deliberately because you're reading this guy talk about it. Every time you play, you discover new things, and you think, fair enough, even in the same place as before. But the best feature came from our prototyping phase when we started playing as wolves. You think, okay, I wouldn't mind. I could run around as a wolf. Horse? I don't know. I'm not so sure if I want to play as a horse. Sheep? We don't like to play as a sheep because some guy would come up and probably pump me. And then it says trout, and it's like, no, I've never looked at a game and thought,
I should be the trout.
Yes.
If you can't swap from one to the other, it's going to be relatively limiting. I guess you could swim into the sea or go upstream.
But it was then they said, and this is the thing, it was a great looking video, and it's a concept, it sounds interesting, but then they said, you know, it opens up so many gameplay situations, especially when you play online. It's like, so if I'm playing as a trout, does that mean you can be a fisherman? And you can catch me and cook me.
Again, this sounds a little bit like Beneath the Something Sky, whatever it's called. The Steel Sky, was it? What's the one? That's that game which we all...
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky, that's the
Beneath
one.
The Steel Sky was an old click adventure game.
Was it?
Yeah.
So No Man's Sky, that again, it sounds like an amazing concept, but have we got a hook in? This one is another amazing concept. They're building something the size of Europe, which you can go and play and explore in. But is that, you know, I've only been to several countries in Europe because most of it's boring. You know, does it make a good game? We will see. But I love the fact that they've got these big scopes.
Maybe it's a trout you could swim to Belgium.
Amazing.
Oh, is that landlocked? Maybe you can.
It's got rivers. It's fine. You can go upstream. Call of Duty multiplayer. So this is like bonkers to watch.
Yeah, and what I should probably say is, so we're away now from the kind of Sony and Microsoft
this
ones.
This is a few, and
you may have others. This was just a few games that caught my eye. Call of Duty multiplayer looked mental.
We've got to complete this in 7 minutes, for 6 minutes.
It looked like Titanfall 2 on drugs. You were in robot suits, you could do anything, but it was all so fast.
Shoot that and you get more stuff, and then next time you can shoot it even better.
It just looked too much for me.
Grenades that could self-home in on, you know, on people. It's just all sorts of stuff going on all over
the place. It looks mental. It just looked like the whole kitchen sink thrown in. And again, you mentioned it, balance.
Yeah, how can we balance that out, especially between new players and old players? How do you go into a game like that and not die?
And the biggest load of cock ever. It was like, how can we reward our loyal fans? Pre-order the game, you get it one day early. You just change the launch date, YouTube. But I don't get that. See if they'd said like 3 days earlier if you pre, you know, or you know, you do something different, or
because
you get
people who bought from Amazon are probably going to get the day before anyway.
Exactly. Pre-order the game, get it one day early. Rubbish.
We're straying close to an hour. This is bad news.
Come on,
Geometry Wars. Just come on quickly, Spurt, and off we go.
Geometry Wars 3 has been announced. It's coming out this year. Fantastic.
This is a game that you understood and loved, and I had no love for at all. It bugged the hell out of me, this game. But
the first Geometry Wars was part of PGR2. So
it was great. You could go to the arcade machine and go and play it. It was awesome.
And I loved it. Yep. And then Geometry Wars, what was the second one called?
I don't know.
Anyway, I loved it. Absolutely.
Hyper something?
I just spent,
I like played it twice, and maybe it's one of those games you really do need to continue. It was kind of one of those games that could last 2 seconds or it could last 10 minutes, and for you could get it out lasting to like a near an hour.
Loved it.
Yeah, just it was too much for me.
And it's all that kind of Twitch gaming that I like in iOS as well. There's just something about it that I really like.
It's very cool. It's very root and very raw and core to gaming. The old Asteroids game, but just taken to a bonkers level.
The Golf Club.
Oh, yes, this does look quite good. So this is a golf simulation title, and basically it's going to rely on people producing courses because I don't think they've got any licenses, basically.
No.
They made a course.
But what they talked about back in the day, back at the start of the year, was it focused more on kind of making it a kind of simulation type game, not none of that kind of crazy, you know, stab buttons to put spin on it in the air and all that nonsense. Yeah. And they weren't worried about, you know, getting Tiger Woods to sign up for it. They weren't worried about courses.
Just wanted to make it a brilliant golf game, which is a lot of people want a good golf, because we used to have it. What was the game that we used to have on Microsoft on Xbox
Links.
Until Links. That's it, and then right up until the point that EA said we're not making games for you unless you get rid of Links, we lost a game that day. It was very sad.
There was Links, and there was American football game, and there was something else. There was a football game.
Oh, the tennis game. Didn't they kick that as well?
And they had their own, remember, Microsoft had their own portal for doing all the sports stuff, because we could do all the Links tournaments.
Yeah, it was great.
And it was like, if you want us to come to your platform, throw it all away.
And overnight, they threw it all away, and all the gamers lost good games and got crappy games instead.
Yeah.
Boo.
So this is out next week.
Yes. And this has been out on beta for PC for a while, but it is now coming as a real version, therefore will be out of beta. And I think I'm right. Can you share courses made on PC? I think they can share onto Xbox.
They're all cross platform.
Brilliant.
And there's loads of, I was on the forums, there's loads of courses there. And obviously people are saying, I've made it in St. Andrews, and there's people are saying, like, so how did you get the hotels in? It's like, they didn't.
No, you're doing the course.
They're trying to model the courses to be quite close.
But you can procedurally create them if you can't be asked downloading or
and doesn't matter
them.
You know, if it's a decent game of golf, I think I'll be there.
Yep.
And the last one I did was this PT. So there was this kind of as part of the Sony. So I should have put it in as a Sony one. And they talked about how there was this PT demo released today on the PlayStation Network, and it is scary.
I love getting scared by games.
But the end of it was basically a reveal to say that the guy behind Metal Gear Solid, Hideo Kojima, is making Silent Hill. So he's going to resurrect Silent Hill and bring that back.
I remember playing an early Silent Hill and going that. It scares the bejesus out of you.
Yes.
It's horrible, you know, and in a modern environment, that could be awesome. Could be awesome.
With headphones on.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So that is we're getting within the hour. That was Digital Outbox, and you can find out more about what we are, who we are, and what we do at www.digitaloutbox.com. And you can talk to us. info@digitaloutbox.com is the email address, and Twitter is Digital Outbox, as well as Skype, Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as Cheesy UK, and my blog is academyracer.co.uk if you want to follow my racing along. Ian, where can we find you?
Twitter Sweeper, blog, ENDnet.
We've got a minute to spare now. What do we do? Oh, no, we've got to put the music.
Yeah.
Damn it. Bye.
Cheerio. Every time you talk about time limits, I sit there and go, you forget the music, man.
We might have actually done it that time.
Oh, I'll spin it out.
Always.